Welcome to a Finance Basics podcast. This is Larry Schrenk, and today we are discussing the question, what is risk? I can imagine discussing this topic for about 1 or 2 minutes or going on for several hours. To give you an analysis of risk that's neither simplistic nor confusing in a short podcast is a challenging task. To frame this discussion, I will distinguish between three terms: certainty, risk, and uncertainty. The basic fact is the world is stochastic. Stochastic merely means the chance is involved in many of our decisions, that the world involves probabilities, and in fact, complete certainty is rare. The cliché tells us that only death and taxes are certain. Every time I walk across the street, enter an elevator, or get on a train, I face some element of risk. Even if I were to sit perfectly still, I would face possible medical risks, a heart attack or a stroke. Finance, above all, confronts this stochastic or chance element of the world, though our analysis is generally limited to risk in financial contexts. I will start with a tentative definition of risk, or what makes a situation risky. A risky situation is one in which what you expect to happen may not happen. There are two elements to this. First, you need to have an expectation about the future. And second, you need to have a reason to believe that expectation may not come about. My drive to work is a risky situation because I have an expectation, namely, I will arrive at work. I also know this expectation may not be fulfilled. For, of course, many things may intervene, a traffic accident, car problems, or an emergency telephone call. But it is important to note that a situation with risk is more specific than just a situation in which something is unknown. I need to distinguish risk from uncertainty. At first, you might think of these as synonyms, but in economics, they've taken on a technical meaning, one that goes back to the economist Frank Knight. Imagine that I present you with two boxes, each covered with a cloth. The first one, I say, and you can believe me, contains 100 balls. 75 are red and 25 are blue. But I won't tell you anything at all about the contents of the second box. I won't even tell you whether or not it is empty. The box with the balls is a case of risk. Remember, in the case of risk, we have to be able to form an expectation and have the knowledge that the expectation may not be fulfilled. If you were told to put your hand in the box and pull out a ball, your expectation would be that it would be a red ball. But you know that it might be blue, and you can expect to pull out a red ball about 75% of the time. In the case of the second box, however, you don't have any expectation. That is, you don't have enough information to form an expectation because you know neither what the box contains nor if the box contains anything at all. This second case is what some economists call uncertainty. Risk and uncertainty are similar in that both involve a lack of knowledge. But in the case of uncertainty, the lack of knowledge is so profound that we cannot form a rational expectation. By contrast, the case of complete certainty would be a covered box in which I told you that all the balls were purple. We are presented with a range of positions. In certainty, we know what will happen. In risk, we know what could happen, but we don't know what actually will happen. And in uncertainty, we don't even know what could happen. In finance, we sometimes confront certainty, but that's rather uninteresting. And we sometimes confront uncertainty, but we really don't have enough information to do anything about it or to manage it effectively. Most of the time, financial analysis involves confronting risk, and it is one of the main goals of finance to analyze risk when applied to financial assets. Let me pursue our box example in the case of risk. I know the contents of the first box, so I know something about the probability of selecting a ball of a certain color. To put it technically, I know the probability distribution, and this tells me the probability of different possible results, though I still don't know which outcome will actually occur. But as long as I know the probability distribution, here, there are 75 red balls and 25 blue balls, I can still form a rational expectation, and further, I can estimate the likelihood that my expectation will in fact be the actual outcome. Simply put, there's a 75% chance that a ball drawn from the first box will be red. When we deal with financial assets, our probability distribution is often based upon the historical prices and historical behavior of an asset. We start with the implicit assumption that the future behavior of an asset is best predicted by its past behavior. A stock with a high return in the past is likely to have a high return in the future. A stock with a high volatility in the past is likely to have a high volatility in the future. If I have no other information about the asset, the best predictor of its future behavior is its past behavior. For example, if I wanted to estimate next year's return on a stock, I would base my estimate on the historical returns of that stock over the past few years. Exactly how I would do that can be either very simple or can become very complicated. I could, for instance, just take the returns for the past 5 years and average them, and then I would use that average as my estimate of next year's return. Or I could do something more complicated, and I could develop an average that put more weight on recent returns and less weight on earlier returns. I can also build in a growth rate if I thought that growth was going to continue in the future. But no matter how complicated my estimate, I'm going to base my estimate on the historical behavior of that asset. The exception to this rule is if I were to have that elusive quantity called private information. That is, you know what a company is going to do or how it's going to perform, and this is private. It is information that is private to you or some select group and not available to the market as a whole. If you had this, then you could incorporate that into your estimate as well. But as a general caution, I would urge you to be very suspicious of this so-called private information. For if financial markets are at all efficient, the chance that you have information not available to the market as a whole is quite small. Similarly, if I wanted to estimate the volatility of a stock over the next few years, I would again rely on the historical behavior of that stock. The simplest method would be to assume that its volatility over the past few years will be the best estimate of its short-term volatility in the future. Again, I could use more sophisticated forecasting tools, or if I had private information, incorporate that as well. This is how, in a risky situation, we're able to form an expectation about the future. Since this is a risky situation, we also recognize that the outcome which we forecast is by no means certain. And there are statistical methods that allow us to quantify the extent of our certainty. You'll notice that none of these techniques would be available in a true case of uncertainty. Financial techniques for dealing with risk assume that we have sufficient information to allow us to form expectations about the future. So far, I have presented certainty, risk, and uncertainty as quite separate cases. But I would be more accurate to think of these as a continuum. Let me introduce another box example. This time, I give you a covered box. I tell you there are 100 ping pong balls inside. Further, I tell you that all the ping pong balls are either red or blue. But I don't tell you the number of red balls and the number of blue balls. This case, or box, in terms of available information, falls between the two cases we've looked at before. You certainly have some information, so this isn't pure uncertainty, but the information you have is not enough to allow you to determine probabilities explicitly. You might add an additional assumption. Assume, in the absence of other information, that on average, the red and blue balls are equally distributed. That is, you add the assumption that there are 50 red balls and 50 blue balls. With this assumption, you are now able to estimate probabilities. You expect that it is equally likely that you will draw out a red and a blue ball. These added assumptions, however, make the situation more hazardous than our original case, because you have less information than when you were actually told the number of red balls and the number of blue balls. I introduce this to show you that the information set you have and upon which you base your expectation is actually a continuum between a situation where there is complete uncertainty and a situation where there is complete certainty. In many financial cases, our information is incomplete, and we do need to make assumptions in order to form an expectation. How rational, however, that expectation is would depend upon the degree to which you need to make assumptions and whether or not the assumptions you make can actually be justified. I have argued that risk, in our technical sense, only occurs when you have enough information, at least when supplemented by reasonable assumptions, to form a rational expectation. One of the tasks of finance is to develop sound techniques for forming those rational expectations about the future behavior of financial assets. Needless to say, we've only begun to touch on the nature of risk, and in particular, the nature of financial risk. But an abstract understanding of what we mean by the term risk is the first step in analyzing the risky world of finance. I hope you've enjoyed my Finance Basics podcast.